Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome to Parkcast. It's episode 2.
We've made it.
We've come back for another one. We can still speak.
We're still going on. We're still doing it. We were a little bit worried at first. We wanted to know that everything was going to be right for you guys. And now we are here, episode 2. And we've got our first theme for one of our episodes.
Being at the time of year that it is, obviously, it's Eurovision season. And I'm pretty sure, Alex, you're quite into Eurovision.
Just a little bit.
I get the Eurovision vibe off you.
Did you get that joke? Ooh, ah, just a little bit. I tried. The only Eurovision joke I've got
actually
available.
Actually went over my head.
I tried.
But there you go. But yes, we thought for this episode, as it's coming out, Eurovision time, why don't we do a bit of a theme park Eurovision special? Let's focus on some of those great European parks that you can go and visit that are quite easy to get to, that actually you might have not even thought that you could just pop over there for a weekend. But you can, and it's really
easy.
You can
do it really, really easily.
Get on some new rides, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a few moments. First of all, though, it's time for this.
Highs and lows.
So it's our highs and lows. It's the news. It's what's going on around in the world of theme parks right across the globe. What do you need to know? What news has broken since we were last here 4 weeks ago?
Quite a few bits have changed, haven't they, Becca? We've had a few little bit of announcements and teasers for things to come in the future. So I'm going to start by taking you to Halloween time this year. Ooh, spooky time.
So far away.
Spooky season is so far away, but is it? Because some people think about it all year long, like me.
Do you ever think honest. That maybe you should get another hobby?
Maybe so. Maybe yeah. I should take up, like, knitting. I don't know. That'd look weird, wouldn't it? Let's not do that. So let's talk about the very, very first thing from today's highs and lows, which is Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
It's a good thing.
We've had some announcements already. Halloween, we now know 3 of the attractions are going to be at this year's Halloween Horror Night. 3 of the haunted houses, as they call them, but scare mazes to us Brits. And the first one is a return from last year's Halloween Horror Nights event, which was Halloween Horror Nights 28. God, we're on 29 this year. That's crazy. Big 30
older
coming up next
you.
Year. I know. Tell me about it. Stranger Things. Massive, massive TV show on Netflix. So many people watch it. I mean, I haven't personally. I'm sure I will at some point. Have you watched it, Becca?
No, it's don't like scary things.
Okay, so there we go.
That's basically a massive wuss.
Yeah, so Halloween. We'll leave Halloween to me on that one. Becca's a little bit terrified of anything that goes bump in the night. She even gets scared looking at a ghost train, I've heard, not just going on them.
Yeah.
So Stranger Things is the first attraction announced for this year's Horror Nights. It is going to be a brand new type of maze based on Series 2 of Netflix's Stranger Things series. It's going to have some twists and turns from the previous Stranger Things, but with some added dimensions, which sounds quite exciting. The maze was very, very good last year. I did go and check that out. Horror maze number 2 that was announced is Nightingale's Blood Pit, which is a scare maze themed to ancient Rome.
Sounds attractive.
It does. Nightingale's Blood Pit. Beautiful. Ancient Rome. Interesting concept for a scare maze right there. Let's go after the bloody history of Rome. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to try and do a Russell Crowe impression at any point throughout this speech, but it is going to be certainly very, very Spartan, I believe.
Lots of togas.
Yeah, toga
chariots.
Party. That'll be great. I'm just thinking about my birthday inspirations for myself now. Yes, Nightingale's Blood Pit. And the final one, which was announced just this week, is a new attraction called Universal Monsters, which is going to focus on classic cult horror from years ago, such as Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and many, many more. So I'm quite excited for that one. I think that'll be a nice little retro throwback. I
mean, I'm absolutely not excited about
it. You couldn't think of anything worse, could you?
Do not do scare me.
I promise you, podcast listeners, at some point this year, I will make sure I have a lovely audio recording of Becca going through an attraction, a horror maze. We'll go together.
No.
I will look after you. No. And I'm sure that people want to see that. If you do want to hear about that, get hashtag podcast and tell us what you want us to put Becca through, because I feel like Becca's giving me the evils in the studio right now. She is not happy about this.
You know, every time I go to Blackpool, someone tries to get me in Passage Del Terra.
Yeah, Passage Del Terra.
Passage Del Terra.
She can't even say it. She's not scared.
Every single time I say it, there's absolutely no chance, especially given that I've heard that the end of it, you run out into a pub.
You do run into a pub. I mean,
so everyone can just laugh at you.
That's the dream, though, isn't it? Everyone to laugh at you, Becca. I'm sure we can make some arrangements, some spooky arrangements, but that's to worry about in September and October, not right now.
Let's move on. That's a high for you, isn't it?
That's very much a high for me. It's definitely Becca's low for this week. Also to announce that Hansa Park's Highlander Drop Tower.
Again, I'm not happy with any of this news so far this week.
So far, not so good for Becca, is it?
This is not my good news.
Definitely not. I don't think you're going to like the general trend across they're all very, very dark themes for Becca on this week's highs and lows. But Hansa Park, Highlander, it's going to be the world's highest and fastest dropping gyro drop tower.
Now, I hate drop towers.
And I absolutely love them, as you can tell. And I love the fact that Becca hates them. Highlander is going to be, the highest and fastest gyro drop tower in the entire world. It's manufactured by Funtime. It will stand at 120 metres tall, which is 394 foot. It's got 24 seats. And the fastest point of the drop tower, get ready for this, Becca, hold on to your stomach, 75 miles per hour. 75 miles per hour at its fastest point.
Horrific. Does it tilt? As well, I
won't say it tilts, however, it's a gyro drop tower. So that means if you've been to Winter Wonderland at Hyde Park, then you'll definitely know what a gyro drop tower is. A bit like the Hangover Tower there, where the seats actually move around the tower just to give you a nice panoramic view of the area before you plunge 75 miles an hour down to the ground, 120 metres. Oh, Becca, it sounds like paradise, doesn't it?
This is the weird thing about me. So I absolutely love roller coasters. I will go on any roller coaster in the world. It doesn't faze me. But I have a massive fear of heights.
It's great.
I hate heights. So a drop tower for me is just a no. And I've been on Apocalypse at Drayton Manor, and I've been on it for many years since I was about 12, 30 when it opened. I've been on it, you know, many years since then. And the last time I went on it was 3 years ago. And I have since vowed to never, ever go on a drop tower again because I was that scared and Apocalypse was that intense I've not been on one
Just to say that the times have changed since Apocalypse was built. Apocalypse is actually 54 metres. Highlander is going to stand at 120 metres. Becca is actually like holding onto the desk so tightly right now in the studio. She is terrified just thinking about it. How about we try and get her on it? Anyway, moving on. Legoland Windsor has recently opened its Haunted House Monster Party. Hey, a bit more of a fun side of horror there. The Haunted House Monster Party. It is a new Vekoma Madhouse that opened at Legoland Windsor this past month. And I was actually there at the opening of that attraction. And they did a little nice opening ceremony with all the characters. And the park operations director did a nice little speech before allowing guests into the mansion. And I've got to be honest, it's a very, very fun madhouse. I really enjoyed it.
So if you don't know what a madhouse is, explain the concept for that.
If you've never been to Alton Towers or Drayton Manor, where they have them previous, also like Hex or The Haunting, it's a attraction where you will take a seat on a bench, the lap bar will come down, and it will move a little bit like a pirate ship indoors, but only very, very slightly on a gradient, and the room around you will move upside down, so it actually creates the illusion that you are moving around the room. And even me, it still gets me sometimes.
Even though you know exactly what's happening.
You're not going upside down, however, the illusion,
it
creates it. It's not good for people with motion sickness, I've got to be honest, or travel sickness. It's not ideal, but it is a very, very cool, unique attraction, and it has the most addictive soundtrack in the entire world. If you go there, you'll see exactly what I mean. People are clapping along in the drum for the ride, and it's great. It's really good fun. It's really quite sweet and charming. It's not spooky and scary. It's very much targeted at the Legoland audience, and unfortunately, I guess it's a little bit of a low point. As much as the attraction's beautiful, and I could sit here talking about it all day, how much I really like it. It's a very, very new style, Vekoma Madhouse. The low for this week, unfortunately, is that when the ride first opened, on opening day of all times, within 3 hours of the park actually opening the ride, it did suffer quite a not so good technical delay. It did cease operation for a good few days after that, unfortunately.
I've heard that it's been a little bit unreliable.
It's a prototype version of ride from Vekoma, and it has had a few technical difficulties. I do believe they've kind of been ironed out now, but I guess for a new ride it is hard to cope with operational throughputs, but it's just a shame that it wasn't ready on time. And you know, it did suffer quite a few faults, and a lot of people were disappointed on the opening week. So, you know, it is a shame. Things like this do happen. Just prepare that as much as you are going along for the opening of a new ride, that things can and do go wrong. Everything was checked. No one was involved in anything bad. It was just a technical delay. The ride went down, but I do believe as we speak that the ride is still operational and is definitely worth going to check out at Legoland Windsor.
So in terms of it being a prototype, what's different about it?
So it's mainly in terms of how the ride design has changed. It's actually got quite a bit of speed to it now, unlike some of the other Vekoma Madhouses that are actually quite old and quite dated now. There aren't too many new ones around anymore. So they do kind of lose a bit of speed as time goes on. So it's actually quite, it moves quite fast. It is, you know, the room around you gyrates very, very, very quickly, actually, for a family attraction. But it's still good fun. New type of lap bar system. And it's also got plexiglass behind you now, so you don't drop any loose articles behind you whilst on the ride, and you do remain seated. So, yeah, it's just mainly technical modifications to the ride. But it's certainly, hopefully, going to give it a nice long life as the first of many new additions, as I'm sure to come at Legoland, with belief that some planning application has gone in to expand the park even further with maybe a new roller coaster. Ooh, speculation starting already.
Teasing.
Next bit of news, again, not on Becca's side, drop towers. Let's
not
talk more
one.
About drop towers. Poulton's Park, down in Southampton, have announced that Tornado Springs, which is the new area that's due to announce early next year in 2020, has named its two new drop towers going into the park. Becca is absolutely cringing again. Called Windmill Towers. That's quite a nice
that
name.
That sounds friendly.
It does sound very friendly. So the park is very much themed to kind of like the deep south of America. If you do go on Poulton's Park's Twitter, they have created an account just for the area, and all of the characters that you expect to meet in that area have their own Twitter accounts.
It's really nice, actually, what they've been doing with that. I think the whole, A, building such a big expansion to that park,
definitely.
Which I remember as when I was a kid, Poulton's Park was a tiny little place, and it's really growing quite
massively.
Quickly.
Yeah.
But the fact that they are going into so much detail in terms of the characters and the theming, it's really nice to see.
It's very special, and I'm sure as we get more announcements for the area later in the year as to what we can expect, it will be probably one of the nicest themed family areas in the country. Poulton's Park obviously opened the Lost Kingdom just a few years ago and is home to Peppa Pig World, if you're more familiar with that. And they do have some beautiful, beautiful park areas there, some beautiful landscapes, topiary, and rides as well. It's great for the families. I really recommend you go and try it out. And even if you're a thrill seeker, there's a couple of rides that will keep you entertained there as well. So, yeah, that's Windmill Towers, new for 2020 at Poulton's Park in their new area, Tornado Springs. Final bit of news then today. Some people, it was a little bit of a low when it first happened, but now it is only but nothing but highs. Phantom Manor has reopened at Disneyland Paris, and we do have a few little teasers as to what to expect. Throughout the ride, there have been massive lighting and audio improvements. There have been some brand new paintings hung throughout the pre-shows and buildings, and generally the ride itself has had a complete refresh and refeel, but still keeps the initial Phantom Manor story that I know a lot of people know and love. If you've not been to Disneyland Paris, but you've been to some of the other Disney parks, similar ride to the Haunted Mansion style ghost ride, and it's fun for all the family. It's beautiful. It's got a really nice soundtrack, really nice storytelling, even more so with some more modern technology added to the ride. And also the station building with the bride is certainly something I recommend you keep an eye out when you do visit Disneyland Paris next. Phantom Manor officially reopens the gates. 999 happy haunts, room for one more.
Exciting stuff. They're great. That was this week's Highs and Lows.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.
Okay, so here we go. It's Eurovision week. It's Eurovision time. We're all excited. Some of us are. Some of us are having Eurovision parties. On Parkcast, we are doing a Eurovision special. And this kind of, I suppose it came to me because on the first episode, I asked you about the roller coaster that I thought you should just go and ride. In your opinion, what's the one you've just got to go and ride? And you said Shambhala in PortAventura.
I did.
And that stuck with me for a good 3 or 4 days to the extent that my other half was actually sick of me mentioning it and booked us some flights
and off
to PortAventura.
And
off I went. And it was literally as simple as that. Very cheap flights. It was Ryanair, 20 quid return to Reyes. And we went and rode Shambhala. And it was every bit as awesome as you said, and it's now my number one roller coaster.
It's a beautiful ride.
Amazing. At the front, at the back, it's just
in the sunshine as well. It's picturesque. I mean, not all of Europe's covered in sunshine, but PortAventura is, and it looks gorgeous in the Barcelona sunrise.
It was amazing.
Sunset.
So I thought, why not celebrate some of these European parks, some of them, which they are so easy to get to. And I think sometimes, you know, we can spend a lot of time in this country travelling, you know, 4 or 5 hours to a park in this country, when actually it's not that much more difficult to jump on a plane and go and visit somewhere in Europe for the weekend and get some new credits in.
I agree.
Some new experiences.
I agree. And to be fair, also in your car, you can access quite a lot as well, you know, using the Eurotunnel or the ferries down there, the Eurostar too. There's a lot of ways to access a lot of different theme parks in Europe, and they are really, really affordable to do. Sometimes you can do just as many trips at the cost of a weekend visit to Alton Towers as you can just to as many other theme parks in Europe if you really plan it well enough. So that's what we thought today we would do. Tied in with the Eurovision, we have decided we are going to pick 10 countries in Europe. Now, of course, there's many more than 10 countries in Europe, of course, and certainly in the Eurovision there is too. However, we are going to put each of these parks, we picked some different parks, shall I say, in each country, and we're going to put them all head to head and just give a little bit of an analogy as to what each park has and what you can expect from those parks in those countries. And we just thought we'd do a little bit of a talk about that. And we're also going to read out a couple of your inputs and suggestions that you've sent in to us on Instagram in terms of what you think about European parks, which ones are your favourites and why. So shall we go through the 10 countries first?
Let's
would you like me to
it.
Give you a little bit of a list? So we're going to start with Germany, the Netherlands, France, England, Spain, Italy, Sweden, Belgium, Denmark and Poland. Now, 10 very, very predominant countries with some very, very predominant theme parks in them, quite rightly so. Now, we are going to, of course, ignore some other parks in these countries. We aren't going to have time to go through every single major one. Becca and I have just picked 10 that we think you guys would really, really need to know about if you ever plan on visiting these countries. So, of course, let's start with England. Let's get our own country, our own native land out of the way, Becca, and let's talk about probably the most predominantly known theme park in this country, which is 39 years old, Alton Towers. Let's talk about Alton Towers. And of course, it's many, many years older than that. But in terms of a theme park, Alton Towers located in Staffordshire, some really, really great roller coasters. One of mine and Becca's personal favourites is Nemesis. We absolutely love that. We did a little bit of a speech about its 25th birthday on the last episode. We love that park. It's beautiful. It's charming. It's got a lot of history. Some incredible picturesque views of the Staffordshire Moorlands.
I think Alton Towers as well, it's really turned a corner in the last few years. There was definitely a point, maybe 10 or so years ago, where you really felt it was being run into the ground.
Definitely.
And I think we're really starting to see now that they are giving that park some love.
And to use some of their promotional branding right now, the power of the towers is thriving. The park is absolutely thriving. It's electric. Obviously, we had Wicker Man, which was new for last year in 2018. There's some other big, incredible roller coasters there. Oblivion, Rita, 13, The Smiler,
Galactica,
of course, I can't
still
ignore.
It's
still there. Spinball Wizard, as much as I call it, Sonic Spinball. There are some great rides at that park, including some great dark rides and other attractions. A beautiful park, which means a lot to both Becca and I. Many memories of visiting that park over the years, and certainly somewhere that if you do live somewhere within the United Kingdom or you're listening to this elsewhere, you could be listening in Europe or any of the other continents across the world, definitely worth visiting Alton Towers. Very, very special park, the signature park in my eyes in England, and the one that we're going to throw into this heap of competition.
Do you know the thing that annoys me about Alton Towers sometimes?
Go ahead.
When the sky ride's not running.
It is, and it's a windy day.
Oh, my legs.
And you just know, your legs are aching before you've started walking, aren't they?
You know when you look up and you're saying, there's no gondolas on that.
Yep.
And your heart just absolutely sinks.
It does.
You think, I'm going to have to walk all the way to
the Virgin
Valley.
I'm coming Nemesis, but it's a long walk. And I love how we both know which area we're walking to as well. We haven't even planned that. That's just great. That works out perfectly. Park number two to talk about. We're going to hop over the channel now and we're going to head to Disneyland Paris in France now.
Bonjour.
Euro Disney, as it was commonly known back in the day. It is just Disneyland Paris now. Gosh, that park is 27 years old there. Again, older than me. I mean, we're talking... Sorry, Becca. She's waiting for one that she's not old enough to remember opening as a theme park. But those will come in time, don't worry, I'm sure. Anyway, so Disneyland Paris, of course, notorious because it's owned by the Walt Disney Company. And includes a lot of Disney-based rides and attractions. Probably the most well-known and certainly one of the most well-visited parks in Europe. People come from all over the world to visit Disneyland Paris. It was the first European-based Disney park to open. Still the only, of course, but certainly very, very significant for those who love the Disney parks and also the Disney movie franchises.
What do you think is the easiest way to get to Disneyland Paris?
In my opinion, it's quite difficult because I think flying an Eurostar couldn't be quite an easy way. But if you don't mind having your own car and spending a few extra days, it's definitely worth doing the Eurotunnel, getting your car down there, getting some friends and family together. It really, really does depend. Prices can vary for the Eurostar I tend to fly out of London Luton and straight into Charles de Gaulle, the airport located nearby Disneyland Paris.
And is there good sort of public transport then?
So if you actually get the Eurostar directly to Disneyland Paris, you hop off and you're actually straight into the parks. You're right there in the heart of the action, which is really, really worthwhile knowing from London St Pancras International. Oh, he's used his full title there. You can tell I work
on
the railways.
On the trains.
Yes, definitely. the Eurotunnel, you can get down there really, really straightforward. Folkestone down that way, down to Calais and drive up. It's about 3.5 hour drive on the other side. You do have to take tolls, though, so bear that in mind. It's about €22 per toll bridge, and you can cover two across the trip. Flying, as I say, I fly EasyJet, London Luton, across to Charles de Gaulle. Get some really, really cheap flights if you want to do that. But if you don't mind a little bit more expense, you can also go from Birmingham Airport, just to save yourself a little bit of extra money if you don't fancy travelling down to London. Disneyland Paris, again, really well-known resort. I recommend everybody goes to all these parks, but certainly Disneyland Paris if you've never been. Wink, wink, hint, hint over there, Becca. Wink, wink, hint, hint. Certainly somewhere that's going to be on her list at some point. I know, it does. That's the thing Disney really do lack, so their high-intense roller coasters. They are more based on the magical fairy tales of Dreamland. Not Dreamland in Margate. No, that'd be an interesting contradiction right there. Part number three.
Where are we going? Where are we heading?
To the Netherlands, and we are going to talk to you about Efteling. Very, very similar in terms of fairy tale, folk, and fantasy, like Disney. That was very nice, that analogy there.
Even plan that.
I know, that kind of came out of nowhere. It was great. You can tell I'm also a thespian in my spare time. Efteling, a beautiful park located in the Netherlands. Got some really, really charming fairy tale mystical rides there. Of course, I'm going to say this one, Baron 1898.
Very good.
Baron 1898, the roller coaster, the B&M dive coaster, similar to Oblivion at Alton Towers.
I've seen this, it is one of those parks that's on my list. I think I really should go there, but one that doesn't tend to get talked about outside of enthusiasts.
No, definitely not. They're very much enthusiast based at that park. There's a lot of charm, a lot of history.
And it's like Oblivion, but amazingly intricately themed.
Yes, steampunk inspired with a few extra twists and turns than what Oblivion hasn't got. And also that park as a whole is very, very centred around the land of make-believe, although it doesn't have any IPs plastered across the park.
That's quite nice though.
It is very nice. It's very charming. Obviously the Netherlands has got a lot of history with the Grimm brothers and many other fairy tale folk stories from many years ago, and the park really does play to its strength and is very, very charming. Beautiful fun for all the families, whether you're a thrill seeker or just a small child who wants to be whisked away into a fairy tale world. Everybody can be immersed at Efteling, and I also recommend staying on site there. Again, a park that is you can get on the ferry boat across, and it was probably about a 4 hour drive to get there on the other side. You can do it in about the same amount of time as Disneyland Paris. So if you tend to often go across to Disneyland Paris, why not take a trip across Belgium into the Netherlands and visit Efteling?
You might have to get the ferry from Hull though.
Every cloud has a silver lining, and you know, we're going to move quite nicely on to number four on our list now. Is that number four? Yes, number four. Gosh, Alex isn't reading his notes correctly. We're now going to move to Plopsaland de Pan. Yes, I did say that right.
I already love the name of this park in
Belgium. We're going to talk about Plopsaland de Pan. Yes, I'm saying that right. I'm sure that's going to become an internet meme later today. Plopsaland is a very...
Every time you say it, I just
It's true.
Laugh.
It's great, isn't it? Let me say it one more time for you. Plopsaland de Pan.
I need a mug with that on it.
Definitely. So just underneath, though, no one has to really read it. Plopsaland de Pan, I'm going to say it one more time. There we go. Is a very, very cute park with some actual great attractions in it. It's a very, very special park. I know we both know Sean from Theme Park Worldwide absolutely loves that park. It's very, very special, really accessible as well, guys. Again, you can do it on the Euro if you go on the Eurotunnel or catch the ferry boat across to mainland Europe. You can see quite a lot actually by doing that, but certainly Plopsaland is one. Becca needs to compose herself here a little bit. I'm going to struggle to get through this. So let's talk about Dapan as a whole, which is the area it's located. Very, very mystical knights and princesses, fire-breathing dragons at Plopsaland. Caught off a guard there. She wasn't ready for that one. Just leave Becca for a moment while she composes herself. And yeah, definitely a park I severely recommend you go and check out very, very soon.
Is it one for the sort of younger families, you say, rather than the thrill seekers?
It's a little bit like Polton's Park in terms of it's got some very much family-based rides and attractions. However, there are a couple of little thrill-seeker rides I definitely recommend you go and check out there whilst you can. Right, part. We're at the midway point now. We're getting there. Becca's needs to compose herself after Plopsalandapan.
What's the next one?
I can't guarantee the names will be any better, but let's give it a try. We're going to go to Denmark now, Becca. I'm going to talk to you about a very, very old part. Becca's thinking, yes, I'm not as old as this part. Tivoli Gardens.
At last,
I've finally outlived one. I've been outlived by one of these parks. Tivoli Gardens in Denmark, Copenhagen, to be more precise. Again, a very, very history-based theme park, very similar to Alton Towers. Celebrates many, many years history. I believe it's 200 and something years in terms of, you know, how long that area has been built up by tourist attractions, which is very, very special.
Isn't it the oldest park in the world or something like
that? I do believe either that or Bakken. It's one of the two, which are the two parks located quite close by in Denmark. They're the most iconic parks in Denmark. I was going to say the Netherlands then. Yeah, Tivoli Gardens, very, very celebrated through its landscaping and architecture, very much so like Alton Towers. And a park that everybody who tells me has been there, Becca and I, of course, haven't been yet. But a park that definitely is at the top of my bucket list with so many other beautiful, charming, history-based parks
in
Europe.
And I guess you really need to fly to Denmark, don't you?
You do need to fly to Denmark. However, again, if you plan it well enough, you go onto Skyscanner, you look at flight options, very, very easy to do. And a lot of people tend to go to Denmark, to Copenhagen to be precise, for Formula One. And the racing at the same time. So if it's something that is of your interest, definitely something worth merging in if you haven't done already
Surely
before.
Surely you've got to go to the Lego factory if you're going to Denmark.
All the history around there, of course. Lego is so significant across the world. I'm sure you could probably make quite a few days in Denmark. I'm sure it'd be quite different. I don't really know what to expect. I've never thought about it up until recently. But yeah, Tivoli Gardens in Denmark is park number 5. Right. Moving on, part number 6. God, the Eurovision's really heating up now. You know,
already
know
who's going
to
get nil.
Do you already know who your winner is, or is your winner still to come?
My winner's still to come.
You know, if you are representing one of these countries, you've got your flags waving in the air. You've got one of those. What are those horns called that you get at a football match?
Like the air horns.
Yeah, the air horns.
Yeah,
the ukulele. That's the one. And then you get those inflatable sticks that when you hit them together, they make the most awful of racket. That's how hot the competition's getting right now. We're now going to throw you in to Germany. Most theme park lovers will talk to you about Germany and how wonderful these parks are. And it was really hard to narrow down out of both Phantasialand and this park that I am going to talk about, which is the one on our list.
I'm not sure which one you're going for here, then.
Or Europa Park. Out of the two.
I thought you might have had Heidi Park.
Did you think Heidi Park? Okay, Becca's throwing in curveball number 3 there. Heidi Park, of course, another park worth mentioning. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Europa Park in Germany. Beautiful resort. I mean, I've not been. I am basing my assumptions off of people I know who've been, what I've seen, what I've read. But looking at the architecture of some of the buildings and the resort hotels they have at that park, it is a multi-day park. It's somewhere that you don't want to go to just for a day and come home. It is somewhere you want to base 4, maybe 5 days at. And also later this year is opening Rulantica. I'll say it correctly. Rulantica, which is going to be their new indoor water park, which is actually going to be the largest indoor water park in Europe.
Very nice.
Very, very exciting, that is. I look forward to that. It's going to be the third biggest in the world, too, worth mentioning there. Europa Park, some great thrill-seeker attractions. Blue Fire, of course. Silver Star.
So Blue Fire, the Europa Park's got... Is it owned by the Mack family?
It is owned by the Mack family, who actually build a lot of roller coasters around the world.
So they built Icon in Blackpool, obviously. And Blue Fire is similar in that.
It is. It's the prototype of what Icon became at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. They built a lot of big rides. They also built Helix at Liseberg, which, again, we'll come to later on.
And I think there's a lot of debate, isn't there, between people who... Some people prefer Icon. And some people prefer...
Blue Fire.
And you're in one camp or the other.
Yeah, you are. If you've been on both roller coasters, I'd love to know your opinion. So please let us know using the hashtag podcast. Tell us your thoughts. Blue Fire versus Icon. That could be a debate for another day, maybe. Ooh. Maybe so. So much to talk about. So much to cover. But yes, Europa Park, absolutely wonderful resort owned by the Mack family. They've built many rides and attractions across the world, from dark rides, boat rides, intense thrill coasters, to small family coasters. There's so much under their bracketology, and what a beautiful place to have your own theme park than the home of the Mack family. Very, very special.
And again, you can get low-cost flights, can't you?
Low-cost flights. You can drive. It's a long drive. I wouldn't recommend it. It's cheap enough to drive. Or you can also fly into Switzerland and hire a car to get you there, or get a taxi. So worth
bonus
considering.
Bonus being some nice Swiss chocolate whilst you're there.
Of course, maybe so.
Or, always thinking about
but
food.
Then Milka chocolate. Think about this, Becky. You didn't plan this enough, did you? Lindt and Milka, of course, worth recommending whilst you're at Europa Park. Right then, moving on. We are now going to head over and get some sunshine in us, Becca. Becca's getting excited because she's just come back from there. She's checking out a tan. We're going to go to PortAventura in Barcelona, Spain. Part that we've both been to. Becca only just recently.
Well, I went about 15 years ago.
So a long time.
A long time. And then you mentioned it last time and I was like, that's it. It's been on my list to go back for ages, but I've had this massive fear of flying. So I haven't been on a plane for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I went on a plane actually was to go to PortAventura.
Wow.
And I thought, I've got to get over this. I need to go back to that park. I need to go on Shambhala.
And I'm going
to
let Becca describe PortAventura to you, considering she's so fresh off the sunshine of Spain and the plane itself. So go ahead, Becca, tell us a bit more.
It's really interesting, actually, because the reason that I always wanted to go back to it was because I had this really strong memory of it just being really well-themed, and that hasn't changed. So you walk in and the lands are all based on a part of the world, so you've got Mediterranean as you walk in, and it's not just we're calling this area Mediterranean and that's it, we'll stick a few plants around. Everything fits that, so it's beautiful, and the music changes and the flooring changes. Then you walk into Polynesia and you've got palm trees, and again the music changes and all the actors in that
the
area.
The atmosphere is insane.
It just, as you move through each area, you are immersed into each of those lands, and that, and I really remembered that from when I went last time, and I was really happy that actually none of that has slipped.
And it's one of those
kept that.
It's
really
one of those
strong
resorts you can visit whether you like roller coasters and rides or not. You can
just
walk
around
and see the shows. There's 13 different shows on daily at PortAventura.
And I am a thrill seeker, so I don't tend to do the shows as much. I am a roller coaster person. I go there for the roller coasters.
And there's a certain roller coaster that I would like to certainly discuss that I know Becca is absolutely in love with, and that's Furious Baco. She's laughing because she knows that's the complete opposite. It's
Furious Backache, as you like.
Furious Backache, it's very much commonly known in the enthusiast
community.
Well, that
wasn't there the last time I went. So, and I know that you'd referred to it as Furious Backache, and I was interested to try it out. And I've got to be honest, I didn't find it as bad as I think you probably did. But I don't mind rattlers, so
no.
I'll go an old with
it's a very rattly coaster. Expect the further back you sit, the more intense the ride becomes.
I found the left-hand side on the outer wing a lot worse than the inner. Yeah. If you're on the inner seats, it's not so bad.
Very similar
seats
to the Swarm at Thorpe Park, if you want to compare it to a type of roller coaster, except it has a very fast launch. Yeah,
that launch. I mean, I went on Red Force as well, which is at Ferryland, which I guess we can kind of say is part of
PortAventura.
And you know, the launch on Baco is as intense as Red Force's launch.
Definitely,
it's a Rita-esque.
Yeah, I agree.
Launch, but you're on a wing coaster and your feet are dangling, so it's it's an experience, but the park's beautiful. And the only thing that I've got to say about it, and I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but the park operations, you just tear your hair out sometimes at how slowly those ride ops work.
I think if you're staying on site or you're staying locally, it doesn't hurt just to get the express at PortAventura to cut those wait times down.
We did do that actually, but it's just infuriating when you've got a ride with that one ride up on and they're walking really slowly. Baco, I mean, we timed it at one point and it was 4 minutes something to dispatch a train.
It's a long time.
Isn't really.
No.
When you've got
good
a full queue of an hour and a half,
it's
they
a long time to
be
waiting people.
To
and the thing is, it's PortAventura is a beautiful resort. And one thing I would like to really touch on about both PortAventura and Europa Park. So, PortAventura in Spain, Europa Park in Germany, they actually have something called Hotel Roulette. Are you aware of this, Becca?
No.
So, this is quite a cool trend that they both seem to be doing, and I really, really like. So, say you want to go and stay at Europa Park for so many days, or you want to go to PortAventura for so many days. Like you would on most theme park websites, you wanted to book a resort hotel, you would type in what dates you want, who's going. And what it'll do is it will come up with an option that says Europa Park Roulette or PortAventura World Roulette. And what happens is you actually don't get to decide which hotel you're staying in, because all the hotels are the same star class.
Yeah.
You don't actually get to decide. What happens is 24 hours before you go, you get a nice email to tell you which hotel resort you're going to be staying in. Sometimes you could be staying in one of the further away but still four-star resorts. Sometimes you might be staying in the really top PortAventura hotel.
Wow.
You really don't know, but you actually cut the cost down of your stay just by doing that, because then they can just fill
where
empty rooms where they need you to be. You're guaranteed a room. You're not going to have that struggle, but it's definitely something I really recommend. And they also do something else, which is really, really cool. So they also have both parks the same, because at the time they had five resort hotels each. you do something where if you book a five-night stay, you get the five-roulette special. So
right.
each night, you will get to stay in a different one of the five hotels across
your
stay.
Wow.
What happens is you check in to the first hotel. They give you all the information you need to know about your stay. You put all your bags into your room. They'll do it all for you. You go off on the park. You come back. You sleep that night. You get up the next morning. Make sure your suitcases are at the door of your hotel room. And you will get told to be at the next hotel at check-in time whenever you want to check in. And then you'll check in. Your bags will be waiting for you in the next hotel room. They do all the transitions for you, which I think is really, really cool.
Nice,
so you get a little bit of a taste of a different hotel room each night. Obviously, if you plan on taking 12 suitcases, you know, like Becca for all the hair products.
Not on Ryanair. I have to remortgage the house.
That's for Nick, that one, for the hair products. I think Becca's definitely agreeing with me. Sorry, Nick, if you're listening. I'm sure he will be. But definitely a really, really cool idea. Some really unique ways of booking a hotel stay at a theme park. Sounds like good fun.
Yeah, and we stayed at El Paso, actually, at PortAventura, and I would recommend it. We had to move rooms one point because they started drilling a hole in a wall at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Good time,
which,
yeah.
Which, as you can imagine, I enjoy my beauty sleep, so I wasn't.
Did you have any siestas whilst you were in Spain?
No,
too many roller coasters to ride. I mean, I could fall asleep on Shambhala. I'm that cozy.
If you stay at El Paso, actually, what's quite nice is there's a terrace that you can sit out on with a nice glass of sangria, and it overlooks Red Force. And you can just watch it going round at the end of the day.
Special.
It's a little,
very, very special.
For you there.
Right. Moving on from PortAventura in Spain. So we'll be certainly talking about it all day otherwise. We absolutely love that part, both of us. We're going to fly over now to Italy. Again, Italy, you are going to have to cover using flights. But I definitely recommend if you get a chance to go and visit Lake Garda. Oh, teasers already. Beautiful area around there. I'm sure there's many, many things for people to see and do, especially now. Go and visit Gardaland in Italy, a very, very special theme park. And it's actually owned and operated by Merlin Entertainments. Woohoo!
Is it covered on your annual pass?
It is not covered on your Merlin annual pass. However, if you have the Merlin VIP pass, it is included. Merlin Entertainments, who of course operate Alton Towers, Chessington World of Adventures Resort, Thorpe Park Resort and Legoland Windsor in the United Kingdom, plus Heidi Park in Germany also. In my opinion, from what I've heard, Gardaland sounds to be... the mega Merlin theme park resort. It's got a lot of big rides and attractions there. It's certainly the most significant, has the highest budgets thrown at it. Very, very special park, and also somewhere that I've heard does some of the most unique entertainment for a theme park anywhere in Europe. So I look forward to seeing that.
Again, it's one of those places that you just don't hear people talking about it unless
you
are in the enthusiast circles, really. You don't ever hear people say, I've got to go to
Gardaland.
But I do hear people saying, I've got to go to PortAventura, but not the same. It doesn't seem to have the same.
And Gardaland is a very, very special park. I know that in the morning they do a full entrance show on top of the turnstiles before the show begins, the park opens. There is, of course, one of the more recent roller coasters that opened there, Oblivion, the Black Hole, which is a little bit like Oblivion at Alton Towers. But a massive, massive, massive new coaster there with some of the most out of this world cool theming that any park has ever introduced. And Merlin, you know, they do have a bit of a troubled reputation in the past with how they operate some of their parks, but they also have a great reputation in others for what they build and how immersive the things that they install to their new parks are. And Gardaland, I do believe, is to be the top of those of that chain in terms of operational parks that the company run. And yeah, definitely somewhere I would recommend going to see. It's a multi-day park as well. You can make a few days out of it there. And if you're in Italy, it's something definitely worth considering visiting. And I'm sure Becca and I mean, you've never been, I'm guessing, Becca.
No, but actually, I was looking to go even possibly this year for a summer holiday because there's a lot of the... you know, the sort of European tour operators like Eurocamp, Canvas Holidays, they have a lot of the campsites around there where you can stay in the mobile homes or the pre-erected tents around Lake Garda. So actually, if you go on those, you can get a pretty cheap holiday and stay in one of those
and
then go and visit the park as well.
And the sunshine makes it up for it too, just like it does in Spain.
Yes. Right. And the pizza.
Of course.
The gelato.
Yeah. That's all it is for Becca, the food and the coasters in no particular order. You like them both equally, don't you? Food and coasters.
It's a tough choice.
It's a very tough choice. What about eating food on a coaster? So that'd be
pretty
cool.
I've got a t-shirt actually that I wore to PortAventura and it says eat, sleep and roller coasters, and pretty much that's all I need in my life.
Yeah, literally. I mean, you miss sleep for roller coasters, I've heard though sometimes. certainly from what you were saying earlier about dreaming about PortAventura. We are coming to the final couple of parks on our list. Now I feel quite sad we're coming to the end of our analogy, but then we get to push them all head to head. So Energylandia in Poland. Oh, Poland next. Yeah, I don't know what you just said.
Poland.
Is that what you just said?
I think so. I think all Polish.
You either said Polish or Poland in Polish. Wow. There we go. So Energylandia is a park which I haven't really known a lot about up until very, very recently. However, it's getting a massive push in terms of roller coaster investments. It recently opened Hyperion, a massive new coaster that opened at the park, Hypercoaster, very, very special.
But who manufactured that one?
I believe it's Intamin. Am I right? I don't know.
You're
looking at me like it's right. Somebody will correct us on that.
We should probably know the answer to this.
We should definitely have put the resort info into that and the research in. We'll fire a researcher later on, Becca. Don't fire me, please. but no, we've heard a lot about Energylandia, and of course it is opening a RMC roller coaster, a Rocky Mountain Construction hybrid coaster, rather.
Is this a new one rather than a new ride?
A new ride being built to the park. Something very, very special. I mean, Poland, again, is somewhere I've never really considered visiting. However,
it's very cheap whilst you're there.
I've heard so. Yeah, you can get a McDonald's meal for about £1.50, I've heard, which is quite exciting.
Sold.
Yeah, that's it. Day made straight away. But Energylandia in Poland, a park which is definitely on the up. It's getting a lot of good investment in there, and a lot more people seem to be visiting, and somewhere that we, again, have been told to recommend. There's yet to be a park that we've been told to stay away from. And we are finally at the last park of our list. We are at Liseberg in Sweden.
Sweden, wow. The home of Eurovision.
The home of Eurovision. The home of ABBA, IKEA, you name it. They've
great
got it.
Swedish chocolate.
And, of course, meatballs. Becca and her chocolate and meatballs. let's talk about Liseberg. Again, somewhere neither of us have been, but, again, it's probably right towards
Sweden,
the top of our list.
I've got to say, I think Germany and Sweden are the two countries that are top of my list to go to ride some roller coasters next.
Very, very special. I mean, I did go to Sweden for some theme parks. I went to Gröna Lund and Kolmården a couple of years ago, but I never got a chance to visit Liseberg, the home of probably one of the most talked about roller coasters in the community, if not across Europe as a whole, is Helix.
Helix.
Shout that as we're going around.
That is
a bit of a throwback for you there. Helix, a very, very special Mack-built roller coaster, Mack mega coaster, that opened at the park a few years ago. And wow, I mean, so many good reviews from that ride. So many good reviews from that park. And that park is really, really investing. Unfortunately, the park recently has announced that Andreas Andersson, the man who is the operations manager of Liseberg, has moved away and is actually moving to the Tivoli Group. A man who has helped install a lot of great rides to that park as of recent. And of course, the B&M Dive Coaster that opened there very recently too. Very, very sad loss to the park, because there's been a lot of major investment, but more and more people seem to be going to Sweden to ride roller coasters.
It is getting a real name for itself. I mean, Gröna Lund.
Gröna Lund is beautiful.
It's a great accent.
It's an amusement park located in Stockholm, which is at the side of the waterfront there, right in the city centre. And wow, they really know out there how to engineer some beautiful parks with some beautiful rides and immersive storytelling experiences.
I always imagine like the Swedish are very good at operations as well.
Yeah, they're on it. The rides don't really stop. They just kind of roll into the station and keep moving. Like, go on quick, otherwise you're not going to get on the ride. But wow, absolutely incredible. So there we go. We've made it through our 10 countries with coasters and parks.
What a challenge.
The Netherlands, France, England, Spain, Italy, Sweden, Belgium, Denmark, Poland, and Becca's personal favourite, Plopsalandapan. There we go. We've got it one more time.
Just for the name.
Now, all of these parks we've mentioned, of course, there are many, many other significant parks across all of those countries that we definitely recommend you go and try out. We just tried to pick one to represent each, a little bit like the Eurovision does when it picks a singer to compete for their proud nation. And generally speaking, some incredible, incredible theme parks, even if you've not been, but you know a little bit about them, you know what to expect, certainly sound like somewhere you'd want to visit. So I put a little bit of an Instagram poll out earlier on today to find out what some of your favourite European theme parks, why you like them so much and why you would recommend them. Obviously, you can imagine, because we've covered 10 of the most significant, some of those will reoccur. First things first, though, I've had somebody said Blackpool Pleasure Beach. They have made a very historical-based amusement park. And this is from Mr. 3BBS on Instagram, by the way. Thank you very much for your input. Have made a very, very history-based amusement park into one of the most must-see amusement / theme parks, which I agree with. It is becoming more like a theme park. It's worth visiting in the whole of the UK. Pleasure Beach is beautiful. 10 till 10. Go for one of the late night ridings, guys. 12 hours of coasters in the sunshine by the beach. Sangrias for Rebecca. Ice cream and milk for me.
In Blackpool.
Maybe. You could get away with it. I don't know. You might find them somewhere. Another one which was sent to me from Trin2000_ is Phantasialand in Germany. Such amazing rides and atmosphere across the park. Thank you very much, Trin, for sending that in. Yeah, Phantasialand and of course the home of Taran, another major roller coaster built by Intamin, triple launch coaster. A very, very quite small packed park, but with a punch of a park to throw at everyone else too. Some really immersive theme lands and some great rides, and probably one of the most nice looking areas in the world, in my opinion. Klugheim, the home of course Taran. And let me just pick one more for you. I am going to pull out quite an interesting one here. Let's go for Poulton's Park from at Chris Puck on Instagram. Now, Poulton's Park, someone we touched on earlier, very much an up-and-coming theme park in England. Somewhere that I certainly recommend you all watch and definitely go and visit very, very soon. Started, as Becca said earlier, as a very small park, but expanding rapidly, introducing some incredible rides and attractions, and I'm sure there'll be more to come for next year. And it's really good to see that some of the smaller parks are investing heavily and getting the revenue back to continue investing. Becca, I'm sure you're very, very pleased to see that, you know, a park that you said was so small years ago is getting so many new major developments like many other parks in Europe.
It's just great for all of us, isn't it? The better that these parks do, the better experiences we're all going to get. So it's great news. It's lovely to see.
And there we go. 10 countries, 10 theme parks. Tell us what your favourites are. Get involved on our social media channels and tell us a little bit more about what you think about these European theme parks.
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Parkcast. And you can also search for us on Facebook as well now.
And Twitter. Twitter, we're covering all. We're branching across YouTube, and of course,
you can stop the world.
And you can, maybe so. And of course, you can listen to us on Apple Music, Spotify, and Audioboom.
Podcast.
So I hope you did enjoy that little foray into Europe. I think it is always nice to see, you know, what is out there. Some parks that don't get talked about that often as well. If you are maybe, you might be an enthusiast, or you might just enjoy going to parks and you've stumbled across this podcast. So it's always nice to see what it is that you could go out and visit there in Europe. We like to end each podcast with this, though.
Podcast. Just go ride it.
So this is Just Gotta Ride It, and this is the part of the show where we get a recommendation for a ride that we think that you should just go and try. It doesn't have to be our favourite rides. It's just a ride that you love, and there's a reason why you love it. So last time, Alex, you told us about Shambhala.
I did indeed.
I'm going to talk to you about one this time, but actually we want to hear from you for this, for next time. So if you've got a ride that you think fits this feature, Just Gotta Ride It, let us know on Instagram. Drop us a comment, drop us a message, and we'll get speaking to some of you as well and find out what roller coaster or ride recommendations you've got for the rest of us so we can all be on the same page. So this month, I'll tell you the one that I'm going to pick, and this is controversial.
Uh-oh.
And I already know that you are not going to agree with me on this.
Uh-oh.
And it is the Grand National at Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Ooh.
And you can stop right now before you even say it, because I know what you and Sean say all the time. Every time I talk about this ride,
oh, wow.
I get RMC it. RMC,
RMC
it.
RMC Lash. Let's get it trending.
No, 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 no. So for me, right, okay, if you haven't been to Blackpool, firstly, just go. It's a great park, like we've said. Late night opening, loads of rides.
I'm just going to click my back into place. There we go.
Minimal queues. It's a great day out. I love it. I love that park. It's somewhere that I grew up. And I love it. The National is one of those roller coasters. It's one of the first major roller coasters that I remember riding as a kid. So that's very special.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it is amazing fun. I just love it. It's very clever. It's what we call a Mobius loop. So it's one continuous track which forms a racing coaster. So you leave one side of the station, you come back on the other. And every time I get, I've ridden that coaster so many times. I don't even know. I couldn't
Too
even tell
times.
You how many times. And my back is still completely intact, by the way.
Ouch.
I've ridden it at the back, the front, everywhere. And I just love, every time I get on it, I still get the same excitement going up the hill that I did the first time. I think that first double drop that you get down, every single time it looks like you're not going to make it up the second hill. And it's even got that little bit of a like a chain grab at the top to just kind of
just
make
in case.
Sure
yeah, you just
don't
in case.
Roll back down.
I was going to say, if you make it, then you've done very well.
And it's a racing coaster that does every time. You cannot predict which side's going to win. It's not like one side's got into its groove and that train will always win. It's different every time, and I just love it. And I just think it's iconic. I've got some of the bits of wood. You know, you can buy it in the shop.
That was there. A bad pun, making iconic, by the way. Just want to throw that in there about Blackpool.
It is though, and I've got bits of wood of, you know, around my house, random bits of Grand National wood from when they've.
The house is full of wood. I mean, I might as well rechange the interior of the house. It's not that much in there right now.
I just love it. I do. And it does upset me when you guys are RMC, RMC. Because I think genuinely, if we did that to it, we would lose.
I want to talk to you about the Grand National like I would talk to you about a piece of chocolate cake.
Okay.
So imagine you go to a very nice, say, pub carvery and you and you've had your nice meal and then you see a bit of chocolate cake and you're like, oh, I might just get that for later on. Like, at the time, you're really happy with your purchase. I bought a lovely big chunk of chocolate gâteau. Can't wait, like, to get that home. It's beautiful. Look at it. It's moisture. It's wonderful. It's everything that we needed in our lives. But then over the years of it just being sat there in your kitchen, rotting away, getting
moldier and moldier,
dirtier and dirtier. This piece of chocolate cake becomes practically unbearable, so much so that your body goes, no, I don't want to do this anymore. That is my analogy of the Grand National. Thank you very much.
You don't like the Nash, do you?
I'm not at all. RMC for next year.
You don't like rattlers. You're just too delicate.
That's RMC the Nash.
That's not RMC the Nash. That is absolutely not a hashtag.
Get it trendy.
That we're going to endorsing on this show. Very much two sides of the camp, I think, when it comes to... But generally, are you a Woody fan anyway?
Yes, I would say so. Just I like to enjoy the ride rather than worry about what's left of me when I get off it. Certainly very good for Slimming World, though, I've got to say. If you want to shake some body parts about...
Listen, the Nash is not the worst ride at Blackpool for shaking you around. That has to go to Infusion.
It does.
My other half loves Infusion and he's just mental because the Nash is a much more re-ride.
That's why I'm here for the podcast and not Nick, apparently, because of his opinions of Infusion. Just for that one reason alone.
So there you go. That's my just got a rider. You can't change it. I've recorded it now. I've said it. You can't take that away from
me. It's in history forever.
It is. But if you've got one that you would like to tell us about, tell us why you love it so much, we'd really like to hear from you, actually. You can get in touch with us on our Instagram page. Just send us a little message and we will get you on the show. Exciting stuff.
Very, very exciting. We can't wait to hear from you.
Hope you've enjoyed it. This has been episode 2 of Parkcast. If you have enjoyed it, please give us 5 stars, give us a thumbs up and tell all your friends. And we will see you back again next month.
See you all very soon. Have a great month.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.